and welcome to the What We've Watched podcast. My name is Chris.
This is Emmett.
And this is episode 383. Yeah. And this week, The Endless.
Oh yeah, so The Endless was written by Justin Benson, directed by Justin Benson and Aaron Moorhead, and was released in April 2018, though it premiered about a year before that at the Tribeca Film Festival.
Yeah.
And yeah, so this is the follow-up to, obviously, Resolution, which we did a little bit ago.
Yeah.
The previous
so the film. Loose trilogy of films, this and then Synchronic following up after this.
Yeah, like same universe or whatever, cause same continuity. Obviously, this has a lot more direct connection.
Yeah, well, because they didn't know they were doing more when they did the first one. So I was actually surprised how much this one actually, how much this one directly connected to Resolution. But
given the ambiguous ending of Resolution, now we know what happened afterwards.
Exactly. And yeah. So, okay. So Resolution was a very, like, indie film.
Yeah. I mean, this is too.
This is too.
Not as much.
But definitely, like, you can see there's a little more, a lot more, definitely more effort, more money, more people. Like, this feels much more like a full-on film. And not that, you know, not that Resolution, and we talked about that during the movie, how, like, well, considering the budget and the fact that it had such a small...
But that film was, like, definitely very much in the vein of, like, the those kind of micro-budget...
Yeah, limited, super limited scope, you know, this obviously much bigger. But, like, all the... I feel the vibes of Resolution were still here.
Yeah, it's very similar.
Like, you could still, like, oh, yeah, okay, same people involved.
It's a very similar style.
Yeah. The acting, definitely a big step up, I think.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting because when we watched Resolution, you felt, or you mentioned that the sort of the weaker acting moment was when they meet the... cult guys, which are the guys that are the main characters in this.
In retrospect, it was like clearly they were supposed to be like weird and awkward and all that.
Well, I actually felt that while the movie works and it's good and everything, I still kind of feel like they themselves are not necessarily the best actors. Mm. But the major reason for them taking these roles here. Yeah. It was budget because, like, basically they didn't have to hire other lead actors.
Yeah, yeah. Save a bunch of budget if you can.
Because they also made another film, like, their most recent, because now, of course, they mostly do, like, big TV, right? Like, they work for Marvel and stuff. They did a lot of Loki season 2.
Yes. Yeah.
They're working on Daredevil Born Again
right now. Yeah.
And they did... something else from Marvel too, but I can't remember what it was. But yeah, so like that's what like most of the really recent work has been. But their most recent movie I think came out in like 2022 or something like that, and they made it during like COVID.
Right. Yeah.
So that scaled back down again, where basically like they were pretty much the only real characters in it because it was pretty much like a one, you know, or mostly a one location type of thing
because
of the pandemic. So it was just like they were like, well, we'll just make a movie by ourselves again. So you know, there's always like good reasons for like, okay, well, that makes sense, like you can just have you know be the actors as well as the, and in this case, you know, there was a lot of choices. Like I read that, you know, the reason why the recurring, like they thematically reoccur around the House of the Rising Sun song.
Yeah,
because
that
song itself is like public domain, like the lyric, it's like an old folk song, so basically anybody can do it. So as long as they weren't using like a recording that they had to pay for, they could reference that song and they could sing it and stuff like that without paying anything, right? So it's just little things like that that, you know, and obviously they had like, you know, the aerial stuff was all like cheap drone shots and, you know.
Yeah.
Which work. I mean, that's the thing, is like you can get away with that nowadays. But they you know, they're good at finding a lot of ways to like eke out what they can, you know, with like basically spending any money or minimal amounts of money. But yeah, I mean they had, you know, actual actors more so around this time, and you know, they had a little bit more of a cast.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So a lot more. Well, just sort of like the extra cast, like that wasn't the two of them, like the remaining cast was like just ever present much more than, in Resolution, it was just basically like the visitor
and of course everybody from that movie's in this movie. Yeah, exactly. So it's kind of like they're sort of just incorporating everything.
Just everybody's like whatever couple number of years older.
Well, it sort of gave me like when he goes to the, I mean, jumping ahead a little bit, when he goes to the house.
Well, he goes to the house from Resolution. Okay, I was so not expecting that. Holy cow. I was like, wait a second. Well, what is going on?
It gave it a bit of like a Back to the Future Part 2 vibe, where it's like, oh, it's like going back into the first movie in a way.
Yeah.
Right? And of course, like the timeline of that makes no sense, but given the fact that it all involves time looping.
Yeah.
It works because like they've been there for all this time.
Well, because at that point in this, we found out we like the characters already know about like, okay, like there's these like top pockets of time, but we didn't know that that's what was going on in the first movie.
No,
we knew
about the whole like that it was about like the entity wanting to make stories.
Yeah.
And then the first movie has that ambiguous ending thing of the whole, can we try it another way?
Yes.
Which they reference back to in here.
They got the video.
And then there's the whole like, oh, well, I guess that didn't work.
Yeah.
You know, because it's like people are aware that they're in the loops, but they're also not necessarily aware of everything they've done previously.
Yeah.
You know?
The whole bit. I have to listen to you say like, hey, Kevin.
Well, it's that opening.
The opening of the movie.
When they first
meet. One more time.
Yeah. Oh, it's great.
It's because like their time loops seem to be a little different than the time loop that was going on.
Yeah, well, it's a little different. It seems to be a little different for everyone.
Yeah.
Because there was one guy that just kept instantly.
His time loop was like 5 seconds or 10 seconds. Yeah, he would
just run across and
then die.
Run across and then reset constantly. Yeah.
And then there was. I think the character's name is Shitty Carl, who's like time loop is like.
I mean, he's the most sort of informative in terms of like.
Well, he had the most. He was like the like. Okay, we realize we need to explain what is happening to the audience
and his like in awareness, a kind of this
didactic way, and so
his awareness level.
Yeah.
Plus, which it was kind of interesting because there was like the whole thing of where like he was like. His body was like hanging.
Yeah.
But he was also.
Because it was from the previous.
Thing. He was there talking to Justin.
Well, because he would leave his bubble.
Yeah.
But then always get dragged back in because, like, what was it? Yeah. Like, once you die in the bubble, you can never escape.
So it seemed like like a little different for each. Yeah. It was kind of tailored to like.
I really appreciated that they did that. I almost missed what was happening at the moment when, after they go get the gun from the Resolution characters and they go back and they, okay, we got to sit and have this chat. And so they hit Aaron and Justin. They're sitting and having the chat and he puts the gun down on the ground there. And I kind of missed where I didn't quite digest like where they were when they were having the chat. And then they leave and I'm like, oh wait, it's Carl's house. No, they left him the gun that he asked for. Oh, okay. Cause then he comes out. And,
That was the whole plan.
Even this movie, like the start of the movie where he gets the package and it's the tape.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, we're like immediately like hitting the notes of the previous of Resolution by
we
got the tape, seeing the tape, and then you know, and it's of something that
Especially like where he
has not happened yet, may never happen, just kind of like.
Well, I like the way that because when he talks to that girl later about because he's like. Because she was on the tape.
Yeah.
Talking about, like, the... Whatever it was. Like, the Ascension or whatever.
Yes. Yeah.
And how, basically, like, how he says...
Anna. She was sure the main...
How, like, oh, you sent us that... You know, and she was just like, no, I didn't send it to you. And it's kind of like in the in the first movie where, like, Michael assumed that Chris sent him the tape. But then Chris was just like, I didn't send that to you.
Who's sending that tape?
Right? Yeah. So it's, like, almost
turns
like
out the entity is sending the tapes.
It draws people in.
Yeah.
And then even the guy from the... Was it Hal?
Yeah.
Who's kind of, like, the semi-lead guy in the cult. Or in the camp.
Yeah.
But, like, he mentions the thing about how, because when they find the tape, when they find the tape in the lake.
Oh, under right.
The buoy.
Yeah.
And then he mentions, like, oh, that's how it communicates with us, right? So, I mean, like, we know that it basically can draw people in by, like, sending these tapes out and then drawing them in and then using those for further, you know. Mm. And then even the thing where, like, because we see, because on that tape, it had the scene where they meet it from Resolution, where they met Justin and Aaron and Dave. When they, that scene, that was literally the scene. And the way that, like, they...
And they incorporated that into this was something they did in the past when they were part of the...
And then Hal has that thing about where he talks about, like, how they sort of... Well, Justin in particular, like misrepresents, like, what they're about. Because he's basically telling them all these things. About, like, oh, they castrate you, blah, blah, blah. And there's all this stuff. It's just like, no one's ever said that.
There was, like, a two-part thing to that. Because it started out with, like... When they did, like, the damaging proselyting, which is what is in the first is in Resolution and then appears again on the tape. And then later when they leave, he goes to the news. And he does all this. And then
Hal
is like, look, like,
yeah, because they rely upon selling their gear.
It's like,
you know, they have this, like, bad reputation because of, like, him going to the press and stuff. And it's like, no, like, we don't actually do any of that stuff.
Yeah.
You know, but of course they're stuck too because of course they're in their loop and you know, so it's kind of just, it's all just basically completely messed up.
Yeah. I mean, it's interesting because, like, they're like the whole course, like, it starts out with, like, oh, I like Aaron and Justin's, like, they're really not living their best lives.
Oh no.
And then you know, but it's like, oh, but it's better than, like, living in the cult.
Yeah.
And each of them...
they have very different memories.
Of what happened.
What it was like.
We never see the age difference. We definitely have that feeling that, like, different
eras... There is actually a fairly sizable age difference between them in real life. Like, so it actually makes sense. Because, of course, they're playing... Their characters are brothers. They're obviously not really brothers.
You could see a good probably, like 8 years or something like that between the two of them, which when you're younger can make a big difference into how you perceive the world. Oh, and in, like, real life, how old they are?
They are like 4 years
apart. 4 years apart, yeah.
Which,
yeah.
I mean...
Give or take,
I mean, you could amplify that a bit by, like, the vagueness.
Because, I mean, think how a 10-year-old perceives their environment versus, like, a 16-year-old. Because
even, like, they made this movie 5 years after the previous, but they say that they've been out of the cult for 10 years.
10 years, yes.
Right? Yeah. Now, the first
movie... Well, they're clearly, like, supposed to be in their, like mid to late 20s,
and their first movie is vague about, like, the setting because... Yeah. I mean, of course, now we know that, like, the time setting is kind of irrelevant because the loops cause weirdness with that, you know.
Well, the bit where he's like, I know they look good, but, like, Anna's in her 40s. And it's like, but clearly none of the characters have aged beyond, like, when they left, right?
They're just like, oh, no, they just eat well and they, like, take care of themselves.
Good living. Which, I mean, to be fair, it definitely did seem like they were...
Sure.
Doing that. Like, they were really... And it was that thing...
Well, where, that, like, was part of Aaron's point. At least we got, like, good food and we had blah, blah, blah. You know.
It was so much like they were making the best of a bad situation. And...
Yeah.
Like...
Well, and that's why Hal was so upset about, like, them... About, like, Justin, like, sort of bad-mouthing them and stuff. Is that, like, they were basically stuck with the situation they had.
Yeah.
And they were trying to make the best of it. You know, like, they were trying to live as best as they could. And, you know...
Yeah.
Everyone had their thing, like, that they focus on. You know.
Million hours.
Which makes sense, because it's like, they don't really have any other choice. Yeah. Like, it's either that or just kind of give up.
Yeah.
And, of course, like, even if they die...
Like, they're still...
They just get looped back around anyway, so it's like...
Well, there was definitely the implication was somewhat given, and whether this was just... I think it was because it was Carl that put this forward, like, if you don't play the game... The entity will make it worse.
Yeah.
The time loop reset will just be a reset.
Although he does...
But it doesn't have to be a kind reset.
Yeah, but
you know?
He does also sort of seem to indicate that, like, that you should resist, though.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
that, like, basically playing into it is also...
Well, it's also a trap, right?
A problem,
yeah,
right? Yeah. But, like, even something like...
Well, because what happens, like, at the end of the movie, where the entity comes and just, like, tornado sweeps everything up, did not seem to be, like... That's not normally how that goes.
No.
It definitely felt like... Because from the video, right? Like, normally it's, like... Oh, like the triple moon,
yeah.
and then they're like they ascend, and then the loop begins.
Yeah, but then again, we also like because of the ambiguity that they always love to have in these.
Oh yeah,
series,
yeah, yeah. It's so
we don't really know where we go from here. We don't really know how it.
Like, oh well, I mean,
like,
we'll
even
find out.
The idea of them escaping is like, did they really?
Yeah, yeah.
Like
yeah.
we don't know for sure.
We looks see like what it looks like. Yeah. It's the kind of thing like. Next movie, I guess.
Yeah.
Right?
But, like, it clearly it doesn't allow anyone to die permanently if it doesn't want them to, because, like, we see even here with, like, the scene with the resolution guys, and like, Michael just, like, putting gas all over the house and then lighting the house on fire and just standing there and then everything burning up.
Yeah.
And I love the bit when Justin kind of turns and he's just like, oh, like should I do something? Should I?
And like, doesn't matter.
And then it just, whoop, resets like, right in front of his face, right in front of his eyes. Yeah. Yeah. It resets and he's just like, oh, right. Like, it literally doesn't matter.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, all the visual and like, And like stuff with like where like those totems would appear.
Yeah, yeah.
And then those would sort of
apparently
like,
we're done with miniatures, which is pretty cool. Very old school.
Yeah, yeah,
way
yeah.
of doing effects.
Yeah, yeah. But it really got again, it felt very like there are no answers here.
Yeah.
But we're gonna keep showing you this visual imagery over and over again to allow you to sort of like look, any narrative that you can piece together. That's satisfying to you. That's your story of like what's going on.
And
here.
I love how, because like the way that like Michael and Chris are just like they have no idea how long it's been, and they they basically just like this is how it is, like this is our existence, you know, like. And they've gotten like so casual about it because they've just been doing it for so long that they just
because when he comes in, he's all like handcuffed up. He's like, oh hey man, oh yeah, don't worry about this. My friend's just trying to get
Yeah. Like they're just so casual about it at this point. And even to where, you know, it's kind of like, oh, like Justin even says, like, you know, like, oh well, like I hope you guys make it out sometime.
Yeah.
But it's like there's no indication of like, well, is that even possible?
Well,
we don't know.
Well, because also like
there's no indication
we know from there like their particular run is their awareness that they're in a time loop doesn't come to a certain point in the loop.
Yeah.
Versus, which is like why towards the end of the loop,
because
there's so much more, because they're like,
because they basically just play out the first movie over and over.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And then
versus
just
like
the way it ends.
There
and the way
definitely
it
seems a feeling that like some of the other ones, you know, Hal and his group, I can't remember the name of the group, the, I don't know, Sunshine, whatever, they seem to be a bit more...
Camp Arcadia.
Camp Arcadia, that's what it is. There seems to be a bit more like, we know what's coming, we know, but like, we're just not going to talk about it. Like, we're just going to compartmentalize.
Yeah.
And live, and try to live our best lives. And then guys like Carl, who are just like, every day is just like, just middle fingers at the sky all day long, you know?
Yeah.
You know, it's,
yeah,
you know.
For sure. No, I really like the way that, like, they have these different groups or different sets of characters that have different, because even they have, like, the bit with Michael's wife.
Yes.
Who's been looking for him, right?
Yeah.
And so, like, she's there, but, like, not part of the group.
And
she's
took
kind of
me
in her own.
Forever. Like, not forever, literally. But, like, oh, this lady, and she's gone, and her husband disappeared. And I'm like, and I was watching, and I was like, oh, and he's talking with her. And I'm like, and it was well into that conversation. I'm like, oh, it's Michael's wife. Right.
I wasn't sure at first because, mainly because of the way the first one ends, I didn't quite get the idea.
Well,
because
we didn't know
that, like, oh,
what,
like,
that really meant.
Like, did they just, they've been missing this whole time?
Yeah, yeah.
Because before the scene with them, where we find out how their loop works and everything, I didn't know, like, oh, so, like, they just were never seen again after the first movie? Or, like, how did that work?
Yeah, yeah.
You know,
well, it's because of how the first movie ends, like, they do a couple of loops in the first movie.
Yeah.
But when they come to face-to-face with the entity at the end of the first movie,
yeah.
There's sort of, you could sort of read that as, well, that's the end of those loops. Like, yeah. That is the end,
yeah,
right?
Well, that's, and but they as left it turns out, ambiguous, yeah, yeah, right? Yeah, yeah. They left it as very it turns ambiguous. Out,
that was just the entity intervening and making an end of that particular loop.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. Much like in the end of this one, where it comes in and, you know, hurricanes yeah. up everything. And
yeah, and there's that whole, like, the way that they kind of bust through. And it's, yeah, it's, yeah. I love the bit where you see the birds just hit that wall.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
First, and then they just keep going, and then there's just like there's
well,
like
you see, because well, it's like slightly reflective, so it looks like they're driving at themselves yeah, a bit yeah, for it a was second. Sort of interesting. And then it cuts to black, like right.
Yeah, yeah. yeah. It was an interesting way yeah. to end. I mean, and very much in line with their usual how they like things
and
to be.
They end out with
a
the,
little bit ambiguous.
The, but it's like on we need gas. It says it's on E. Oh, if yeah. it was on E, the car wouldn't work. It always says it's on E. Like clearly, yeah.
Yeah. yeah. Mm-hmm.
I mean,
yeah, that was.
If you just got the battery,
yeah,
this would have been, you know.
Oh man, that was great.
But so much of this story, like, it's kind of funny, like, sort of the similar resolution where, while this entire fantastical event mm-hmm. is sort of the thing that's going on, these time loops and these people and all this stuff, like, the core element of the movie is like. Two brothers, mm-hmm. one who feels like all he can do is, like, struggle to keep his younger brother more or less, like, alive. Mm-hmm. And the younger brother just feeling like he's never, like, that he's never had the chance to grow up. That he's just never been, like he's never been listened to. Like, he never gets to make any decisions. Like, he never, because it comes that they have that conversation about, like, how, like, we're, well there it's just two-part. Because they first have the conversation by the fire mm-hmm. and where he's like Justin finally gives in, he's like, fine, let's go back, like, if you're gonna do this, I'm gonna do this, like I can't leave you mm-hmm. and Aaron's like all that's all like I don't actually want to go back mm-hmm. like really want to go back
stay,
like I sort of do
stay,
stay. I just want you to let me make a decision, and now that you've let me no like we need to go. Like, this is actually no good. Like,
well,
we need to go.
To be fair,
and then they have the conversation.
Right around then was also when hell was really
yeah, yeah.
breaking
well,
loose.
Well, they had sort of realized what was happening. Yeah. yeah. And then they have they further that conversation when they're pushing the car and they're yelling at each other.
Yeah.
And
I think.
And he's like, you've really led me.
Yeah.
Like, I hate every decision you've made. Yeah. Like, let me, if we're going to be partners in this, like, let's both have, yeah. like, you can't just, like, It's very much like, you're my brother, not my dad.
Yeah.
But they never say it that way, but that's sort
yeah,
of,
yeah. No,
you know.
I get
it's because that's sort of the role sometimes older brothers take
yeah.
in situations
like that.
Well,
and also
like
because,
that, right?
because Justin felt that Aaron was kind of,
well, so brainwashed.
Yeah, like, yeah. He was trying to protect him by, like, he was trying to, like, expose him more to what he saw as, like, reality.
Yeah,
because
yeah, yeah.
he was sort of saying, like, okay, well, the way you remember things is very different.
Yeah.
You know? And there's that little moment even where he mentions about, like, you know, some of the, like, weird kind of bad culty stuff that, like, he's talked about.
Yeah.
And then, like, there's that moment where Aaron's just like, you know, I don't remember his blah, blah. And he's like, well, did you actually, you know, like, see any of that stuff.
Yeah.
And Justin admits that, like, well, I didn't actually, like, see it.
Yeah.
It just seemed like that's what was...
Well, maybe because there was so much weird stuff.
Yeah.
Like, on the fringes.
Yeah.
And Justin had gotten to an age where he was...
Yeah.
Old enough to start seeing it.
Yeah.
But young... But still young enough that clearly, yeah. like, Hal and the rest
well,
weren't gonna...
And a lot of it also was him coming to certain conclusions...
Yeah.
Based on, like, his assumptions of, like, oh, well, this is like a cult.
Yeah.
So therefore, it must be this, this, and this.
Yeah, yeah.
And he kind of leaps to a lot of conclusions, mm-hmm. I think. Yeah. And so he basically... he kind of projects his own, like, it must be this.
Yeah.
Versus, like, where... I don't know, it illustrates kind of interestingly the different ways that people can remember. Like,
sure.
You could even, like, it doesn't have to be something as nefarious as, like, a cult or whatever.
No,
like,
no.
Like, you could even say something like...
Well, look.
Two people that went to high school together.
Yeah.
And it's like...
How do
you
remember
certain things.
Yeah.
I would remember certain things. And the way that we remember those
yeah.
days might be very different, even though we technically kind of had the same experience.
Yes.
Yeah. But
we,
like,
we were both there, but we were experiencing different things. But it's like
what your mind focuses on, sure. Especially
just where you're coming from,
especially
right?
in retrospect, especially in memories.
Oh yeah.
Can vary so much by each person, and I think that that's also kind of part of it.
Yeah.
And I think all that plays back into the whole idea of stories, which is like the whole
greater, it's all that's what
the whole
it's all
greater
about.
Theme being about stories and establishing telling of stories.
When they break into that shed that Tim has, well, I guess they'll break in. Tim takes the lock off to show them. Well, because at that point, the third moon is high and it doesn't matter. Giant old bat, which is like one of those, like...
It's a cool image. But,
but it's like, that's not, like, the bigger the lock isn't the more effective the lock. Especially when it's just like a padlock. Yeah, like, that's not really how that works. Yeah.
But it was quite a striking image.
And they go in there and it's just... thousands of tapes that they had been given, and that cult had been there for decades and decades.
I mean, you can only assume.
Yeah, and it's sort of like, oh, like certain the burden of the reality they're living in definitely sat differently on different members.
Because even you know, like, is even just in terms of like, because there's things like there's like reel to reel, like.
Oh yeah, there's VHS, like the whole
like the idea that as time passes, like it might change the medium, you know. That's kind of cool.
I really like this movie.
I mean,
I liked Resolution.
But it's definitely a further step, like in terms of their filmmaking.
I'm like now I'm really excited to see like where Synchronic goes.
I hope it
doesn't play quite as hard into just like, well, did you see those other two movies?
No, I don't think it does.
Yeah, I'm hoping it doesn't.
I don't know much about it because obviously I don't want to spoil anything. Mm-hmm. But from my understanding, it's definitely a lot more like it stands on its own a lot more than being like it's not as much of a direct like this is like. A fairly direct sequel in many ways.
Yeah.
Even though main characters and blah, blah, blah. But like, it's clearly a furthering of the exact same scenario. And there are numerous characters that reappear. Mm. Well, like I said,
pretty much the whole cast of the first movie
reappears in some form or another. Right. Yeah. So,
which interestingly enough though, like this movie does kind of play out more or less the same all the resolution stuff that's in this wasn't in this movie.
Yeah.
Like it kind of more or less would play out
the
same.
Yeah, but it adds an extra little twist. Because
if you saw The Endless without ever seeing Resolution,
like
those scenes mean nothing to you, but I don't know if they overall affect the movie. They're just more weird. They're more just like, it's more just like Carl, right? Like more.
No. I don't think you need to see it. I think it's just.
And I'm just wondering like how Synchronic plays. Is it?
Yeah, I think it's more its own thing.
Okay.
From what I understand.
Well, it's a bit more of a bigger Hollywood production
very much
style.
So. With actors and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think it's more of its own thing, but like, I don't know for sure to what extent because obviously like I didn't want to spoil anything, so I didn't look that deeply into it.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think it's as directly connected.
Actually, the main thing I'm interested in is clearly, like, in order to be like considered, I guess, as part of this series, like the entity and stories have to play a part of it somehow. And I'm interested to see how that ties in.
I don't know if it does.
Or if it does at all. Yeah.
Or if it's just that it's. Takes place in the same universe because they said that it did.
And we'll have to watch it and see.
I don't know if that's relevant in any way.
Yeah, yeah.
So.
Yeah. Well, we will watch it.
Yeah.
And we'll get back to you on that.
Yeah. But I enjoyed it. It's definitely, like I said, a furthering of what they did the first time.
Yeah.
With, you know, more budget and more, like, filmmaking.
Yeah. Yeah, you can definitely see the experience, like some of the other movies they've done have you know, bolstered their skill and stuff. But like their personal style is still all through this, which is good.
Close.
I like it. And it actually makes me like I want to check out some of their other movies that they've done. And see how those are. So
they had a film. Well, they did a segment for VHS Viral, which is an anthology. They have a film called Spring from 2014, which is described as a romantic body horror film.
Yeah, yeah.
And they had they did some producing on some others, but there are other. The only other movie that's actually their movie is Something in the Dirt, which is...
Yes, that's the one I want to see.
That's the COVID one that I was talking
about. That's the one I want to see. I watched the trailer for it, and I was like, oh, this looks good. This really looks good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So they only actually have, like...
Not too many movies, yeah.
Five altogether that are, like, their actual movies.
Yeah, which, you know, I mean, that's a decent amount of film.
There was a couple movies they were producers on, and then they have a segment of VHS Viral that they did. Mm. But yeah, but like I said, like since then they've been mostly. Oh, it was a Moon Knight that they did.
Moon Knight. That's
they did a couple episodes of Moon Knight.
Yeah,
and then they did a ton of Loki.
Yeah,
season two, and then they're also working on Daredevil Born Again. Mm. So yeah,
cool. Well, really liked it. Looking forward to Synchronic for sure. Guess we'll probably be doing that. And we got things pretty planned out. So yeah. That probably won't be till like May before we hit that one. Yeah, all right. That's it for this week. Mm-hmm. We'll be back next week. Until then, I'm Chris.
This is Emmett.
Cheers.
Bye-bye.